to the Farm Beats podcast.
Farm Beats is proudly produced by the Nebraska Digital Agriculture Team and hosted by students at the University of Nebraska.
The Farm Beats podcast comes to you each week to discuss the trends, the realities, and the values of digital agriculture.
Through interviews with experts, producers, and innovators from across the agriculture industry, we hope that you step away from each episode with new practical knowledge of digital agriculture technology.
Hello, Farm Beats followers, and welcome to another episode on Farm Beat Podcast. I am Ana Clara.
And I am Victor, and we are glad to have you with us as we begin our discussions on robotics.
Hello, Joshua. It's really nice to have you here with us today. And can you, first question we have is like, could you please introduce yourself and provide an overview of your career? Tell us how far, how are you? What do you like to do and everything?
Thank you so much, Anna and Victor. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on this podcast talking about IoT and the robotics and machine learning and AI. So my name is Joshua Dotto. I'm a robotics software engineer at the Machine Automation and Agricultural Robotics Lab at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And I have a master's degree in biological systems engineering with a focus on computer science and specialization in Internet of Things. So that's what I like to do. I like to tinker with electronics and connecting them to the internet and, you know, streaming data from them and getting some useful information out of them.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Joshua. It's nice to meet you and nice to have you here as well.
Thank you.
Where does your interest in Internet of Things come from?
That's a really good question. So this goes way back when I was little, and I've been around for a while, and that means that, you know, back in the days we used to have those AM FM radios that you could tune to a certain frequency and you know, listen to people talking. But for me, I couldn't wrap my head around how that was possible. So me being curious, I took one of the radios and I took it apart just to take a look on the inside. And I was looking at capacitors and resistors and electronic components, but I couldn't understand how I can listen to a person from the radio. So that sparked an interest in physics. So growing up, I studied a lot of physics and learned a little bit of theory on electromagnetic waves. And when I went to college, though, I think I was very lucky to have an exposure to a perfect blend of software and electronics. So these two really boosted my passion in IoT today.
That is nice. You seems like be the guy that assemble and disassemble a bunch of times, and your mom get crazy because sometimes there is some mechanical things that rest, like a lot of things, like, oh, you don't need that.
So that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Through the tinkering, you know, we learn a lot of things, and
that's nice. So third question that we have is, your master thesis is focused on developing IoT or LOT, I'm sorry.
It's IoT. Yeah.
And the device and validating it via fielding test. Could you tell us, our audience, a bit more about this device, how it's sector in the aggregate, how this work, what it is this?
Exactly. Thank you. So the device that I developed during my master's program, it was called PMU, standing for Portable Monitoring Unit. Basically, it's a portable device that we can put in different poultry facilities to monitor environmental conditions in those facilities, including temperature, gas buildup like ammonia, CO2, and particles like in respirable particles called PM2.5. So basically that's what the device was. And then how it worked is that we put it in the facility and then it collects data and saving it locally, but also at the same time transmitting data to the cloud every, I don't know, 10 to 15 seconds, so that users can access that data remotely without having to drive to the facility every now and then.
Nice. And you mentioned like facility. What is that facility? It's like a machine, a robot. What it is that?
Oh, so the facility in which we put the device is it could be any commercial poultry facility, like a facility containing a lot of chickens. You know, some of these facilities contain like 500,000 chickens. So monitoring the conditions in the facility is really important because that tells you, it gives you some information about things that can impact the health of the chickens. Because you want them to be healthy so that, you know, they can produce good eggs and
Nice.
Okay, Josh, what challenges did you face while developing this IoT device?
That's a really good question. So when working with IoT devices, there are so many challenges. And for me, number one is that there are many hardware components. So we have sensors, we have microcontrollers, you know, microcomputers. And so some sensors operate on different technologies. So making sure that the components can work together efficiently and resolve integration conflicts is one of the challenges that we need to address when developing an IoT device. And another thing is that we need to calibrate the sensors because an IoT device without good sensors is not that useful because we sense the environment to know about it. So if the sensor data is not reliable or accurate, then it's not that helpful. So calibrating sensors takes a lot of work, including finding a reference material to calibrate the sensors against. So some of the sensors, like the particulate matter sensor that I was using, it was hard to find a reference to calibrate it against. So that's another challenge. But let's say, okay, we have the hardware working well and the sensors are nicely calibrated. But even then, the compute modules that we use with IoT devices are very limited in terms of computational resources. So another challenge is writing efficient software that, you know, utilizes the limited computational resources in a way that does not create bottlenecks or, you know, overwhelm the constrained devices. And another big one is connectivity, because an IoT device needs to connect to the internet and stream data to the cloud, and that needs connectivity. So sometimes networks go down, and it's a challenge to build a device that can recover from such outages so that we don't lose data regardless.
Nice, really nice. It's like you thinking of one thing, but sometimes you also need another specific point, like a connectivity that you mentioned. And that if that doesn't work, all your effort it's kind of not working as at all.
So all of the stack, you know, all the components of the IoT pipeline have to work together to eventually get that data, you know, in the cloud.
That's really interesting. And keeping with the questions, could you provide an overview of some of your most recent IoT projects in the mechanical automatic agriculture robot lab here for us?
Thank you, thank you. So, in the Mars lab or machine automation and agricultural robotics lab, we do some interesting stuff. And for me, what I'm working on right now, one of the projects I'm working on is millimeter wave technology for high speed communication on the farm. So what this is, think about as the IoT concept keeps growing, we need more and more connectivity on the farm, and the connectivity needs to be robust and capable of transmitting a ton of data. So the initiative that the computer science department here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, specifically the cyber physical networking lab, they're working on evaluating the millimeter wave technology as a means of enabling this high speed communication on the farm. So that's one of the projects I'm working on. I'm working on hardware to control the millimeter wave antennas so that they can, multiple robots or entities on the farm can communicate with it one another efficiently. And to put it into perspective, as far as millimeter wave technology, if you think about currently, say we're using Wi-Fi 6 standard, it has a theoretical maximum speed of about 9.6 gigabits per second. Now, with the millimeter wave technology, we can go up to 100 gigabits per second. So this is a huge increase, and we need it because as we have more and more devices on the farm, we absolutely will need to have better connectivity as well. And another project I'm working on is tracking ice blocks as they float on the river. And so what this project is that the scientists at the University of New Mexico, they embed seeds into these ice blocks, and these seeds, as the ice travels down the river and melts, the seeds are planted on the riverbanks. And this project is an initiative to restore riverbanks or riparian zones for sustainability purposes. So, as the big chunk of ice travels on the river, we want to know its location, as far as GPS location, and track its XYZ motion in real time.
That's very interesting.
I never thought on this.
Yeah, very interesting, Joshua.
Thank you.
Can you talk to us about the intersection of AI and IoT technology in the engineering product development you have done?
Sure. So I like to look at it this way. AI and IoT being like brothers, because AI operates on data. AI models need data, and IoT produces a ton of data. So they kind of go hand in hand. So I have 3 points to talk about as far as the intersection between AI and IoT. And number one being enhanced data analytics and decision making. So if we have an IoT device that's generating data and we want to do some analytics on the data, AI makes it much more efficient and reliable. And utilizing the volume of data that IoT devices generate. And another thing is intelligent automation and efficiency. We can have IoT devices that can make decisions, autonomously without a human intervention. And that is enabled by AI through learning over time so that the devices can generate patterns and trends and use that to take action without, humans getting involved. And another thing is improved security and scalability. Things like, tracking anomalies and, flagging that to the users and being able to use different devices across different areas and tracking them in the same interface as far as scalability. So that's what I can say about AI and IoT working together to create value.
Yeah, what are the current challenges around IoT development for agricultural systems? For sure.
That's a really good question, and we have a couple challenges, but I'm going to talk about a few here. And number one, really being connectivity infrastructure. On the farm, we don't have the luxury of Wi-Fi or, high-speed internet on the farm. So this is a huge challenge because agricultural farms are in remote areas and locations. So if we deploy an IoT device in these, farms, they have to communicate the data they collect some way. And for that, obviously, it needs internet connectivity. So the lack of, internet infrastructure on the farm creates a problem in the way that the devices might not be able to stream data continuously. So that's one of the challenges right now as far as implementing IoT in agriculture. And another one is data management and analysis. Let's say we have a device that works, it can stream data, but these devices generate a ton of data. And in order to get insights from the data, you need to do analytics to analyze the data. So the tools for analyzing the data from the IoT devices are not that user-friendly or available in a way that people who are not that technical could use efficiently. So that's another challenge as far as dealing with the vast amount of data that the IoT devices generate. And another thing is cost, of course, and scalability. If you think about the concept of IoT as a whole, it involves a lot of things like the devices themselves. Those cost money and engineering resources. So that adds to the cost. And also think about like we were talking about the connectivity. Connectivity infrastructure is expensive. Like installing, connectivity infrastructure on the farm costs a lot of money as well. And if you think about it from a perspective of an individual farmer, these costs can really, go out of hand. So I think those are some of the main problems that we're dealing with as far as implementing IoT in agriculture.
That is interesting. And what are your perspective for the next steps for utilize IoT technology in agronomy? Where you can see in 5 or 10 years, how will be the next improvement?
Yeah, this is a really good question. And tying back into what we just talked about as far as the challenges of implementing IoT in agriculture, I think the next steps for this would be to address those issues. Things like investing into connectivity on the farm, working with government bodies to enable, the establishment of these connectivity infrastructure. And another thing is developing user-friendly data management tools. For example, leveraging AI, leveraging some AI tools out there to automatically generate insights from a ton of data without having to develop a lot of software for that or doing complex and analysis with software tools. But using something more user-friendly that people can use immediately to quickly get insights from the IoT data. And another thing, of course, is, again, reducing the cost. Again, some of these have to be discussed with the governments and other parties to allow these IoT devices to be affordable for people who want to implement them in their agricultural practices.
Joshua, what do you think the future of IoT in agriculture will look like? And do you think AI can also be incorporated into agriculture?
Absolutely. I think the future of IoT is really bright. Like right now, this is the perfect time to be alive, really, because there are just so many things to look forward to as far as, the IoT technology and artificial intelligence. So I'll talk about a few things here. For example, let's talk about precision agriculture. Farmers are some of the most efficient people I know. They want to do things efficiently. Every pound of nitrogen or every, I don't know, pound of seed, all of those have to be well accounted for in order to make good return on investment. So with IoT, we can, absolutely achieve precision agriculture. And it's actually being done right now, but in the future, we're going to see this being implemented at a larger scale. So with precision agriculture, we talk about allocating resources efficiently as far as allocating resources in the right place, in the right location, at the right time, and the right amount as well. So, if you think about drone footage, drones can go around the field and identify areas of need. For example, some areas might need more nitrogen, and a drone can isolate that area so that more fertilizer can be applied in a specific spot without having to, apply the fertilizer to the whole field. And if we have sensors embedded into the soil, these sensors can, get information about like soil moisture and use that information to tell us when to irrigate, so that allocating resources at the right time. So we don't want to irrigate when there's a rain event coming or when the soil is not that dry for irrigation. So I think this what IoT can do for us as far as precision agriculture in the future. And of course, hand in hand with AI, all the data generated from the devices being analyzed by AI models. Another thing is autonomous farming equipment. We've seen tractors, seen some people driving tractors on the farm to like plant stuff or harvest. But in the future, we're going to see more and more of these tractors being autonomous, so that one person can deploy like 20 tractors and control them from a control center without having multiple people go out in the field and drive those tractors. So this will increase efficiency as far as labor resources, because as the labor goes down, we'll need, automated solutions to account for that. And another thing is predictive analytics and decision making. In the future, we're going to see more and more, automatic, decisions being made from AI models, operating on the data generated by the IoT devices, so that farmers and other people can generate insights from the devices and in return get better efficiency and more return on investment in their operation.
That is really nice. So, as a traditional Farm Beat podcast, is to ask a piece of advice. So, what are your advice to give to anyone interested in developing IoT for the future of the agronomy? And also, could you provide us for people that like want to go for that market, how is starting and all that process, please?
Exactly. Thank you. That's a really good question. And thinking about this, it gets challenging because sometimes there is, the technology, but then there is a, the problem that we're trying to solve. So the number one thing is to focus on solving real problems, because we can build a fancy device and we can deploy it in the field, but what problem is it really solving? So for that, The engineers and the farmers need to work together so that engineers can understand what the farmers need, so that the devices we develop are addressing actual problems, not just developing a device for developing it, but to address a very specific problem. And another thing I would say, as far as, people interested in pursuing IoT in agriculture is to focus on, to prioritize connectivity infrastructure. Because again, it's a challenge out on the farm because we don't have, Wi-Fi or fiber network, and the devices, of course, need to transmit data they collect. So this actually ties into the work I'm doing right now as far as the millimeter wave technology. It's the initiative to address the problem of connectivity on the farms. Utilizing existing connectivity solutions and developing new ones. For example, some of these new connectivity solutions include low power wide area networks, because devices, most of the times are operating on batteries, and we need to maintain that power for some time. So low power wide area networks can really be leveraged to enhance IoT in agriculture. And another technology here we can use is cellular connectivity, which is already being used, but making that available in many places, because even with cellular connectivity, some spots are they don't have coverage. So having a reliable connectivity on the farm could be something to focus on as far as looking into IoT and implementing new technologies like mesh networks. For example, what I'm working on with the millimeter wave technology. And all of this is just to ensure continuous data transmission from the farm to wherever the data is being analyzed, and visualized. So, and another thing is to develop scalable and user-friendly solutions. During my master's, that's one of the requirements that I had for the device I developed to be plug and play. You plug it in and it starts streaming data automatically, and user-friendly interfaces that person can log in and start seeing data from the devices. So I think focusing on these key points could really, make IoT implementation smoother in the future and make agriculture more efficient.
That's cool.
It is.
That's a nice conversation, Joshua.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Really, thank you for your participation and everything. And thank you very much to Joshua for taking the time to join this episode of Farm Beats Podcast.
It's really exciting on the IoT use to focus on agronomy.
One of my favorite parts of this episode is how Joshua mentioned the connection that is required to make all the operations work to the IoT.
I also think that the interesting part of this episode was about the challenges that Joshua faced when developing new device, or how hard it is to calibrate to work well those sensors and everything, even focus on the new technology for agriculture purpose.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today on the Farm Beats podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube, or wherever you listen to this podcast to be informed about the latest content each week.
We welcome your feedback. If you have comments or questions for us, please reach out over email or Twitter or on the review section of your favorite podcast platforms. Our contact information can be found on the show notes.
We would like to thank Nebraska Extension for their support of this podcast and their commitment to provide high quality information material to members of the agricultural community in Nebraska and beyond.
The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on this podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the views of Nebraska Extension or the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
We look forward to you join us next week on another episode of Farm Beats.